I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Back on CBS Sports Radio, Ken Carmen until 2 a.m. Eastern, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Coming up next, yeah, they're doing it to sell tickets. Stop feeling like you're fake outrage. But first, let's talk to a guy who, when he's outraged, he's purely outraged. It's with pure intentions. It's Chris Herring who joins us at Herring_NBA on Twitter. Writer for 538/ESPN, senior NBA writer. Chris, thanks for joining me tonight.
No problem. How are you?
Chris, I'm doing well. You said that you saw Boys to Men in a Geico commercial and made you feel old. Explain.
Well, I think it's pretty self-explanatory that when the R&B group, maybe not even of my generation, because I'm 30, and so I was a little kid when they first came out, but definitely a group I enjoyed, and I think that most people have enjoyed, and now all of a sudden when you're seeing them, I mean, I've seen them in pretty... I wouldn't say Dire Straits. They probably still make way more money than I do, but I've seen them when you're touring and you're in Vegas for like a year or 2 years consecutively. It's
yeah.
Because the tours themselves don't really work anymore. And it's better to just stay stationary and get people that are coming into town for tourism purposes. And to go from that and then to see them in a Geico commercial where they're singing about anti-bloating stuff, you know, it's a pretty... I think it says it all, probably.
Well, there's still a hell of a lot of money in Vegas. I mean, Wade Newton, I don't think he's starving. So I think you can, yeah, you can do very well. I remember them on Fresh Prince, and then that's about where they finished. So I'm with you right there, Chris. Chris Herring joining us on the show. All right, you're a writer for 538. There's going to be some questions I ask you a little bit later on. But when you cover the NBA, are we finding ourselves right now in a spot where we fear that it could be a boring league to those in the flyover states? Unless you're in one of the major markets, can you really compete?
I mean, let's be honest here. I think we kind of had a season like that now. I mean, I could see the same thing playing out next year. I mean, I think we've learned the Cavs don't need to have the number one seed, just like LeBron's Heat teams didn't need the number one seed. They didn't finish with the number one seed this year and still – managed to pretty much glide through the East. You know, Golden State did have the number one seed, but I don't think it would have mattered whether they did or not to get through the West. And so, I mean, it depends on what you talk about with competing. If it's records, then sure, other teams can compete. You can throw Toronto in there. The Wizards might be better. Milwaukee will be better. You know, we saw the Celtics win the East technically in the regular season, and they probably are on their way to getting better, depending on what happens if they're able to swing a trade or – even if they don't, you know, they might go out and get a Gordon Hayward or something like that. So I think what we're learning is that you can't put much of any stock in the regular season unless it's due to an injury or something. Maybe, you know, maybe that's the only thing that really matters here is whether Golden State makes it to the playoffs healthy. Does Cleveland get there healthy? But, you know, I think we're seeing wider and wider gaps. And I think the playoffs are probably the best evidence of that, not the regular season records.
Aren't you from Chicago?
Yes.
Okay, you see what happened with Jimmy Butler. Has the franchise really fallen, or was it just some animosity between them and Jimmy Butler, and Jimmy Butler had to go?
I mean, I don't think Jimmy Butler had to go. He had said within the last few weeks that he wanted to remain a Bull. You know, I really, really kind of unusually tense tweet sent by Jimmy Butler's trainer. And basically, I think he said something to the effect that he met drug dealers that were more honest and forthcoming than the Bulls general manager was. And that basically said, like, it's no surprise why the Bulls are where they are when you consider who's running the team. And it seemed to suggest a little bit, and we asked him this question at Bulls headquarters the other night, did you make some sort of promise to Jimmy Butler about him remaining a Bull? And if not, then why is his trainer kind of shooting off at the mouth like this? And so obviously it's not Jimmy Butler saying that. But, I mean, I think, honestly, you look at the last two seasons, they win 42 games a year ago. I think they won 41 this year. Missed the playoffs last season, make it this year. You know, in the last day of the season. And so at full strength, pretty much, they are about a 500 team. And 500 is often the worst place to be in the NBA. You cannot land franchise-changing talent there unless you draft like the Spurs do, unless you get fortunate and you find a diamond in the rough like Giannis Antetokounmpo, like the Bucks did or something like that. And so with that in mind, I mean, it's ironic, too, because Jimmy Butler was someone that they found at the back end of the round. But generally speaking, you're not going to get guys that change your franchise late in the draft. And so the best way to get it, you know, obviously Derrick Rose was the most recent example for the Bulls at the top of the draft, is winning the lottery. The Bulls, by doing that trade, put themselves in a position where they may be able to do that. That said, I don't think it was the wrong decision to make a trade. I think it was just the wrong trade. You look at a situation where, let's be honest, the Bulls were trying to trade Jimmy Butler last draft and wanted the same people. They wanted Zach LaVine. They wanted Chris Dunn. And that was fine a year ago. But then when you fast forward to this year, since then, you have so much more information. Zach LaVine has a good offensive season, was averaging almost 20 a game, but then tears his ACL. And then you have Chris Dunn, puts up a great defensive season, very good on defense, but the worst true shooting percentage in the entire NBA of any player that had 1,000 minutes or more played. And so based off that, you know, going from Chris Dunn having been one of the most highly touted rookies coming into the NBA, you have so much information to say, you know what, maybe these aren't the guys we want to trade for, or if we do, we want more than that. That's not enough to trade a top 10, top 15 NBA player, especially when the Bulls also gave up their number 16 pick to do it. They should have been able to at least hold on to their pick and then just get Minnesota's number 7. So it was just a really odd, head-scratching sort of move for them. I get that they wanted to turn the page, but if that's the best you could get, Jimmy Butler's not a free agent this coming year. He's got 2 more years left on his contract. They could have probably held out to wait for a team to get desperate at the trade deadline or something, but just befuddled at the fact that they made that trade, not that they traded him in general, because I think that at some point would have been the right move anyway, just to move them out of this middle ground.
Chris Herring joining us, 538.com. How good's Minnesota now?
I still don't think it is a seismic shift for them. It's big, obviously. This is a team that last year blew more double-digit second-half leads than any team in the NBA. Lost a lot of games in the last 2 or 3 minutes. And so Jimmy Butler, you throw him in, he had the second-best PER in the league in clutch situations behind Russell Westbrook, someone who plays defense, and that's kind of uncharacteristic to say this of a Tom Thibodeau team, but, you know, Andrew Wiggins is not the defender that a lot of us thought that he would be at this point in his career. Still a little bit lazy and some bad habits there. Karl-Anthony Towns did not play great defense last season. So this is a bottom-five defensive team, and now you're adding in someone that is arguably one of the 2 or 3 best two-way players in the NBA, a guy that can score it, a guy that is comfortable with that coach, that likes that coach, that wants to be coached hard. You remember the big kerfuffle that he got in with Fred Hoiberg in Hoiberg's first year in Chicago. So, you know, it seems to fit really well. I don't think it makes them a top-4 seed in the West. Again, we're talking about a team that has a 13-year playoff drought, the longest in the NBA. So if you can get them to 6 or 7 in the first year and maybe build on that with that group, it's a solid core. And, I mean, they still will have money to play with to maybe go and sign some other people. They still need more shooting on that team. But you've got a couple legitimate defenders now in Rubio and Butler. You've definitely got guys that can score it. They traded away a 20-point scorer to get Butler, but you've still got Wiggins and Towns that fit that bill, and now you've got Butler as well. So a lot of firepower there. Now you've got a little bit of defense to go with it, and you would think it's enough to maybe get them in the playoffs in that first year and maybe to build on that and try to aim for the top half of the Western Conference in the second year.
Chris Herring joining us on the show. Follow him on Twitter, @Herring_NBA. Do you think Cavs players were really telling Jimmy Butler not to come to Cleveland or not to try to get a trade to Cleveland?
I think the bigger thing is that you look at that situation and it is very unstable. Do you want to spend the next 2 years of your career in Cleveland as you're about to become a free agent? And then you consider the other part of that, too. The money that he would be eligible for with these Supermax deals now with the DPE and everything, you get so much more money by staying with the team that you're with. And all of a sudden, you know, you lose that. You're giving up that money to go somewhere else if after those 2 years you decide to sign somewhere else. Just like, you know, we got used to the idea of players giving up $30 million. And, you know, when they sign somewhere else and lose the extra year, Kevin Durant obviously did that. But to give up $60 or $70 million is a really big deal for just 1 year's difference. And so, I mean, that part of it, I'm sure his agent probably told him. And the fact that there's no GM there, the fact that LeBron in a year could make a pretty seismic decision and shift, especially given that LeBron made it very clear that he liked David Griffin, the fact that, you know, when you look very closely at that, yes, LeBron is probably the biggest factor in Cleveland doing all this. I don't think anyone would argue against that. But the fact that David Griffin made several deals that allowed them to kind of go and add talent to a team that, you know, is very, very capped out. And so, you know, it's a very – it's much less stable team than it should be given that they have LeBron there. And they're kind of playing with fire there given that LeBron has left one time already, given that LeBron has made it known over the years that Dan Gilbert is not his favorite person. It's hard to justify what they're doing there. And I, as much as I love Chauncey Billups, I've dealt with him personally, know him personally, and think he's very, very smart as they come as far as former NBA players go. That's a tough job for anybody to step into, and the fact that you're giving that job potentially to someone that's never done it before, that's a tough spot to put someone in a year before LeBron is a free agent, and it would be asking a lot of Jimmy Butler to just say, sure, I'll go to Cleveland. That sort of move will be there for him a year or two from now to join up with LeBron or a LeBron sort of player in the years to come. He doesn't have to do that right now, and future-wise, I'm not sure it would have been the best decision for him to go there.
Where's LeBron going to be in 2018?
You know, I'd like to think that, you know, especially if it's not Chauncey, if it's someone more experienced, I'd like to think that he'd stay in Cleveland because it breaks the hearts of those fans. I mean, he would have every right to do it. You know, free agents can go wherever they want. He's won them a title, which is something they hadn't done in 52 years. So, you know, Adrian Wojnarowski has been the most clear in saying this, that LeBron feels a sense of freedom now that, you know, that he's gotten that title for them, that he doesn't owe them anything. And that, you know, that he also would be beloved by more than one fan base at this point, more than two, I guess, because of the Heat. That if he can go and do that for another team that's never won, like the Clippers or the Lakers, well, I guess the Lakers have won plenty, but not recently. And that, you know, LeBron has a home in L.A. as well. And so he's kind of banged that drum at this point to say that, you know, LeBron is very, very aware of opportunities in L.A. and that might want to do that. And so I still think he'll stay in Cleveland. I think they'll find a way to kind of retool a little bit. You'll still hear the conversations about Paul George. And if that happens, I can't imagine Paul George going there and playing with someone of LeBron's caliber and then leaving. You know, Paul George is rumored to want to play in L.A. as well. But I can't imagine, you know, someone up and leaving LeBron. That's never happened. You know, we've seen LeBron leave Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. Could you have imagined Chris Bosh leaving a LeBron-led team in the middle of his prime if LeBron was staying there? Right? So I don't see that happening. I think Cleveland will find a way to make something big happen. I guess it won't be Jimmy Butler, but there's still, even as of tonight, we've seen reports that Cleveland is still trying to get something done and try to get Paul George if it's a three-team deal. I think Denver is a team rumored to be involved with that, with the Pacers and the Cavs. So we'll see something happen, and I think they'll find a way to keep him there because the pressure really is on, you know, especially after you let go of David Griffin. So if they're smart, they'll figure something out to try to convince them to go for it for another year or two. And I think if you get Paul George, that's probably enough of an indication that they're serious about trying to do it.
With no actual general manager, so how tough was David Griffin's job? I'm just kidding with you. Chris, I thank you very much for the time, buddy. All the best. Hope to talk to you again soon.
I appreciate that. Take care.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.